Hey everybody. I learn so much from the people around me. The way they go through life teaches me a lot about how to handle myself or to help others. What I'm talking about today is rethinking what we think we may already know and learning something. I have a good friend with a family member who is with cancer. This is not the first family member with this challenge in the last few years. Surely and sadly, she's in the, oh no, here we go again group of people who are faced with or have a loved one with cancer. Long and arduous. Now, my friend is pragmatic in nature, and that may be why we're such good friends. There's a certain amount of stoicism when bad news arrives, followed quickly by the, what can I do? One day, concerned and in support, I gently asked her how she was doing. Her reply to me was, I have retreated into a state of denial and trying to stay there as long as possible. My immediate reply was, denial can be a good thing because it protects us. Where did that come from? That kind of talk goes against years of professional education and attentive caregiving. In my work as a patient advocate, I'm forever encouraging folks to step into that which is before them and allow me to guide them. My job is to journey with and to teach people how to navigate through that which frightens or confounds them. As a social worker, counseling trained professional, my usual reaction is guarded. My antenna would go up. I'm detecting and assessing the extent of that denial because the big D can be detrimental to a person's well-being or their situation. It's a well-known fact that denial can prevent people from taking needed action or from planning. In fact, my training and experience will have me looking for signs of denial because it can have bearing on my work with patients and their loved ones. Group dynamics can be impacted. Outcomes can be negatively affected. With a snoot full of psychosocial training, that has certainly been the case for me. I can hear it now. Denial can cause harm to your patients. The very presence of denial or somebody remaining there too long certainly can be dangerous. So why in the world would my first reaction be to reassuringly tell my friend that denial is protecting her, thereby condoning where she was? Maybe it's time I explore denial's bad rap. Maybe it's time to give voice to the other side of denial. I want to understand. I want to help my friend. So let me revisit what I think I know. I allowed myself a little rabbit hole excursion on the internet. Finding information about denial shouldn't be too difficult because denial is so common, prevalent, and a well-documented state of being. But maybe I've only been looking at one side and therefore limiting my understanding and my response by only seeing one side. What I found was this. I've been giving denial too little credit and a one-sided credit. I or we can look at denial as a tool and a coping mechanism. Denial is helpful as we try to make sense of what's going on around us. In my research, I began with the fundamentals as I'd first learned them and learned how I came to adopt my stance. Denial was a term first described by the psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud. He described denial as a psychological defense mechanism in which a person is faced with a fact that is too uncomfortable to accept and rejects it instead, insisting that it is not true despite what may be overwhelming evidence. It's no surprise then that denial was one of the first 5 common stages of grief that we learn from Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Her work sure changed the world. A person in denial is likely trying to protect themselves from a truth that's too painful for them to accept at the moment. Sometimes short-term denial is essential. It can give somebody time to organize themselves and to accept a significant change in their life. Denial can, however, cause problems in our life, particularly if it keeps us from addressing a problem or making a needed change. In some cases, it can prevent us from accepting help or getting needed treatment or making a necessary change. In my work as a patient advocate, I've most frequently regarded denial as problematic, even harmful. For example, if somebody stays in denial about a health condition and never sees a doctor about it, that problem might worsen. One of the ways that I could affect change was in my response to encountering denial. I'd always operated from the idea of, we've got to get ahead of this thing, or if we don't identify and take immediate action, we can lose some of our options and our power. I focus on those kinds of concerns as I worked on behalf of my clients. There is relief in revisiting what we think we know because there can be more to learn. I found some solid benefits of denial during my revisit. During my internet rabbit hole travels, there was a particularly relatable section I found in an article by David Spiro, who's an RN, 5 times denial may be good for you. Allow me to share some of the positive impact of denial. He shared 5 ways in which denial can be good. First, when you've suffered loss or trauma, denial buys you time. Dr. David Kessler, who wrote 2 books on grief, along with Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, said, denial and shock help us cope and make survival possible. There's grace in denial. It's nature's way of letting in only as much as we can handle. It helps us pace our grief. Denial allows you to keep going. Sometimes other people are depending on you. You have work to do, really need to do. You have art to create. You have battles to fight. You have love to share. Denial can help you focus on the tasks at hand instead of realities that you cannot change. Denial keeps you out of depression, and depression feels terrible. It cripples your life and your relationships. It's as disabling as any physical illness. So if I'm depressed about, say, having a rapidly progressive chronic illness or about climate change, it may do me good to forget about it for a while and focus on the things I can change. Denial can help you stay in the moment. By ignoring, forgetting, or disbelieving painful things that happened or frightening things that may happen, you are freed to experience the present moment and live it to the fullest. Now, this author had a 5th one that I didn't particularly care for, but I do like his notion of considering and remembering that we have options, even during trauma and pain, to put down the fear and live. Trying to find a way to help somebody we love who's in denial may prove to be a challenge. There are some ways to make that easier for both parties. Consider these ideas. Learn as much as we can. We must learn as much as we can. Slow down and learn about it. Whatever our loved one is going through, be it grief, trauma, or something else, we must find out as much as we can about this event. This will help us to understand and empathize with them, to embrace the magnitude of what it may be for them, and to realize how very much they need space. See it differently. Hello, that's what we're covering today, class. Denial can offer benefits. Knowing why denial is present, what it is for, can help us to become more compassionate. The example I was given was this. In the same way that you wouldn't want to pull off a bandage before somebody's wound has started the healing process, you may not want to fight denial. Be gentle. Remember that the person may not have the capacity to deal with reality at that very moment, not head on. It's okay if we express our concern and slow down, allow that person their space. We may very well plant some seeds that could become useful later. Practice non-judgment. We don't have to condone any self-harming behavior, but we can still provide a safe place to help people process their pain. Show up the way you would want somebody to show up for you. Afford them dignity and grace. My revisiting denial proved to be a sort of a denial counterbalance. I realized that denial's not all that bad, nor is there something wrong with the people that are in it or feeling it. I regained balance by studying the good parts of denial. But personally, I'd always dealt with uncomfortable emotions and situations by quickly finding out what it is that I can do. And this exercise served up a little more of that. I can better support those I love and encounter by understanding the bad and the good parts of denial, by being there and affording them space with grace. As for my friend who's hurting, I have furthered my understanding of denial and why she may be where she is, why she chooses to remain there. My job is to focus on being attentive with a watchful eye and a listening ear. She is where she needs to be for now. I hope something that I've shared today provokes your thought and helps you to move more comfortably forward in life. I'm a patient advocate who helps people navigate a complex healthcare system and deal with the challenges that normally arrive with aging. Let me know if I might help you. I do offer a complimentary consultation toward engagement. Find the link below this video to schedule that, or it's also on my website, nancyruffner.com. Thank you, everybody.